So on the run part five, and what the Lord spoke to me a while back was, are you running to something or are you running from something? So as we go through life, you know, we go through different experiences. Sometimes we, you know, fight, sometimes we flight, sometimes we head forward, sometimes we want to go backwards, you know. So we need to kind of sort that out, just which way we need to go. I say we always head towards Jesus, and that's the best way. So week one, we looked at the story of Jonah, and it's talking about either we run to or from the will of God. And that can happen from time to time. Either we're heading towards him. God told Jonah to head to the, I believe, the east, and he went to the west, as far as you get away from God, but he couldn't outrun God. Next, we looked at the story of David and Goliath, and are we the type of people that run to the battle or from the battle? Are we afraid of conflict and confrontation? You know, we shouldn't go out and just try to stir up problems, but every now and then, problems come our way. So we need to be ready to be able to deal with those as they come. Third week, we looked at flee from greed. You know, greed is a form of idolatry, and, you know, it keeps us from trusting God, and that's something we need to run from. And then last week, we talked about grace, how sometimes in our Christian walk, we're running along real good, and then the passage talked about that somebody cuts us off. You know, if you've ever been running and somebody cuts in front of you, it really knocks you off course. And that's what happens when we get into works righteousness and not running in grace. This week, we're going to look a little more on the topic of focus. Now, do you have trouble focusing and do you easily get distracted? Yes. Yeah, amen. It happens, doesn't it? You know, I know that it's a common problem that we all face from time to time. I like it when you sit up front. This is going to be good today. Amen. Going to be... feed me a little bit. Clutter and confusion can hold us back from living a successful Christian life. Due to chaos in our life, we ended up just existing and not excelling in the things of God. And I hate it when it gets like that in my own life. Sometimes we're going through the motions and we just feel like we're existing. We're not really excelling and getting where we want to be, and, you know, just kind of tough. It's kind of drifting. And today we're going to look at some things that can turn those things around. We're going to look at two passages of Scripture. But both Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. The first was New American Standard, the second is the Message Bible. New American Standard and the Message Bible. Okay, New American Standard says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race set before us. Here's the key. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, throne of God. Okay, now in the Message Bible, it says, and this is a paraphrased Bible, it's kind of American lingo. It says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Then it says, study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could pick it up anything along, he didn't pick up, he could pick up any with us any time along the way. The cross, the shame, whatever, and now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. I thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. I thank you for just quickening my inner man, quickening my spirit man. Lord, I thank you for being the bondage breaker that you are, to be able to set us free from the things that are holding us back and destroying us and holding our life back from what you have. Lord, I yield to the gift you've given me. I use it for your glory. And I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate, leave my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to look at three little points. The first point today is the cloud of witnesses. Now, this is hard for me to picture. I don't never really had this happen too much. I didn't really run track. But picture a Colosseum with people cheering you on. Not just your mom, you know what I'm saying? You know, your mom always cheers for you. You know, I found out in my life, starts cheering for me, I'm in trouble. You know what I mean? But picture people cheering you on for all the things that you're doing out there in that race, and they're saying, keep going. Now, a lot of people run until they get tired, and then they quit. they stop running. You know, some marathon runners, I looked it up, they say they can run about 18 to 20 miles and then they hit their wall. You know, the wall in the race. And that's when they have to push through. For me, it only takes a couple minutes, technically one block. I've tested this back in the day. You know, I can run a block and then I feel like I really have to push through. You know, but the key I found is to keep running. Because if we stop running, we get in trouble. You know, I like watching those African shows, you know, and watching the animals out there. And, you know, how many knows what happens to the zebra when they quit running? They're lion food. You know what I'm saying? Well, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, says that the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And see, that's why we need to keep moving in our life. We need to keep running our race so he doesn't come upon us. You know, what I found out, it's easy to stop running when you run alone. That's why it's best to run with somebody else. Because I'll be honest, you know, when I go out and do things, and it's easy to want to stop or slow down or coast, but I'm with somebody else and they're pushing it, I don't want to get embarrassed and quit. You know what I'm saying? I just want to push harder to be able to get on, at least keep up with them. I may not beat them, at least I keep up with them. Now, these weren't just any spectators here that we're reading about. They were our example. What they were was the Old Testament saints found in Hebrews 11. So I hope you go back and read that a little bit about what they went through in life. And these were people that had finished their race. They'd been dead and went on to glory. You know, it wasn't just some couch potato yelling your name or some armchair quarterback yelling from the stands with a donut in one hand and a 32-ounce fountain drink in the other. You know, these were people that actually had run their race and they kept going and they finished it. And really, this isn't really how it really is in real life. I mean, they're not in heaven probably cheering us on. But the writer of Hebrews used this as an example that we can maybe glean it in our mind so we can understand, you know, what it is that God's doing and how we can be encouraged by other people. You know, we know that, you know, Noah was one. He built a huge boat and people ridiculed him. Matter of fact, sin was so rampant in that time, it was terrible. And it never had rained yet. And the boat wasn't really built by a lot of water. But Noah built it anyway. For years he built that boat, and then it rained. Abraham, you know, was called by God, and he started following God to a land he'd never been anywhere before. He just started to follow him. And then along that way, he had a son that he'd been waiting for a long time, and then God told him to offer it up, and Abraham said, I will. Now we know that God intervened and turned that situation around. But what we need to see that these people were people of faith and they had to run their race just like Moses. You know, Moses, you know, left the palace and went out to the pasture, leaving the pleasures of sin. I don't know what it would be like to be a prince or a king's son, but I'm sure it was a pretty cush life. Everything was at your disposal, but he chose to walk away from that. And he went out with his people and he followed that. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews that all these saints could see the promise, but they never really could enjoy it personally, but they ran on. They kept going. They kept going towards God, and they kept running that race to the prize. And if I could hear them today, they're probably saying, I kept running, and you can keep running. Keep running that race. You know, a few weeks ago, we went up to the movie Overcomer here. And I don't want to be a spoiler, but I'm going to tell a little bit about it. If you've never seen it, close your ears, I guess, if you don't want to hear this part. But we know, you know, the girl, she had asthma. She had to run with an inhaler. And then she kind of ran across her dad. To make a long story short, her dad was blind, who had abandoned her as a little kid. But yet, he spoke into a microphone, and she could wear headphones as she ran that cross-country race. And see, the dad had been there before. Even though he couldn't see the race, they timed it all out. So he said, hey, you're coming up to a hill now. You can do this. Keep going. See, we need somebody in our life telling us to keep going. Keep running. Keep pushing. Because it's so easy to stop. And I don't want to tell you what happened in the end, so I'll just stop right there. Now, the next point we're going to look at is the idea of running with endurance. You know, to me, life can be a long way, and we need to keep a steady pace. A lot of times we start out, remember when you're a baby Christian, you just start out and you're on fire, you're doing this, you can't, got to beat you away from church with a stick. You know, after you get saved, well, we got to beat you back to church with a stick. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just the way it works sometimes. But see, life can be a long way, and we need to keep a steady pace. It's a marathon. You know, in a marathon, you know, there's hills, and then there's valleys. You know, you go up the hills, and that's tough. Then you go down the valleys. And to me, life is a series of sequential segments. And some segments are good, and some segments are bad. But we just need to stay focused on Jesus and keep going, because there's always going to be hills. You know, Denise and I like to walk. We don't really run, but we go out to the reservoir here, and it's got some hills and some low spots. You know, I can really go up a hill like nobody's business. For some reason, that's my superpower, I guess. I can walk up a hill pretty fast. Now, Denise, on the other hand, she can't go up hills fast, but boy, can she go downhill. I can't keep up with her. I'm scared to keep up with her. She really just goes and just lets, I'm just waiting for her to crash. But she doesn't. She just keeps going. I mean, maybe it's the way I walk. I walk funny. I don't know what it is, but I just can't go down hills very fast. I just keep that steady pace and just keep going. And see, sometimes when we're in a cross-country race, although I've never ran one, but what I've watched on TV is the fact along the way, in them real long ones, you can get little drinks of water. You know, so sometimes it's a long ways in between checkpoints. And see, that's when you really got to go by faith. You just got to follow what God has told you to do last. God said to head to the finish line. God said to finish your race. Never turn back. Never stop. Never give in to the feeling that you can't go any farther. You know, the word here talks about the word endurance. Most of us don't like that word. It carries a lot of pain with it. But what that word means, it says persevere or bear up under pressure. The word is associated with hope, meaning you're running towards something better. And that's what we have to remember in life. I know that life isn't easy all the time. We all go through problems. Everybody has situations and issues. If you go on Facebook, most of them never tell that part. Now, a few do. But for the most part, everybody's got a perfect marriage. But I know them personally, and I know they don't. Everybody's got a great job, and the kids are perfect. I watch their kids in public. They're not that great. You know what I'm saying? So, but we can easily, if we compare ourselves with the Facebook families, we can get discouraged because we think that everybody never has any problems, but life is filled with them. It's filled with some heartache. Your heart's going to get broke from sometimes. That's why we need to, but that's only a segment, like I mentioned. It's only a small portion. And we need to press on and press through that so we can get to that. Because it's talking about running towards something better. You know, you and I are running towards glory, which is eternal bliss, where we get to be with Jesus. But it's a long ways to get there, isn't it? I've been saved since 84, around in there. And, you know, I thought Jesus was coming quick, man. I'll be honest. I really thought he was coming soon. Just the way everything looked. You know, thank God I didn't charge my visa up till it was full max, thinking he was going to come on a certain day. Some have done that. They've listened to a date setter, and the date setter said Jesus is going to come this way. And some of them sell their homes, and they do all these crazy stuff. But the idea is we just need to stay steady. Steady wins the race. Just keep heading towards Jesus, and we're going to get there. Whether he comes for us or we go to him, we just need to see it that way. But it tells us also to lay aside some stuff. You know, we need to cast off the deeds of darkness. You know, it talks about the word encumbrance. That word encumbrance in the Greek is talking about a tumor. It's talking about a mass, a weight, a burden, or some sort of impediment. To me, it's easy to run when you're not carrying extra weight. You know what I mean? That extra weight makes it hard. You know, have you ever maybe packed too much for a trip? Or maybe you know somebody that did? You know, maybe you're sitting by them right now that needs two or three suitcases to go on a two-day trip. You know what I mean? You know, those are rough. You know, it's not so bad if you know, it's easy to get there. See, when I was a kid, they didn't have wheels on the suitcases, so you had to pack everything wherever you went. But I remember a time we went to a hotel or motel or whatever you want to call it, and, you know, I think the elevator was broke, and we was up several floors up. I'll tell you what. Do we really need this stuff? If you have to, you find out if you pack it up two or three flights of stairs. Do you really need this stuff? Well, I don't know what I'm going to wear. Well, do we really need all this stuff? And see, that's what it's like as we go through life. I have a personal, of course, I've lived in my house for a long time, since 89. But I think we should move every 3 or 4 years, because you find out what you really need and what you don't. Because a lot of that stuff we can go without. and it's an encumbrance. It's holding us back. And see, that's what the things of this world is in our life, you know, that is holding us back from the closeness and the connection that God has for our life. You know, God loves us so much. And there's nothing, you know, that we can allow to get into that relationship. Jesus says he'll never leave us for forsake us. So don't think that Jesus is going to turn his back on you ever. No matter if we stumble or no matter what happens in our life, get back up. Keep heading towards Jesus. He's there. One of the greatest, I mean, I've had some great things in my life happen. But one of the very fulfilling was that one time our Bible school, somebody hooked it up. I was a hugger at the end of a race for the Special Olympics. And we went out there. And these athletes, they would run and do the best they could. And no matter where they placed, our arms were open. And they all got a hug. And see, that's what we need to see with Jesus. His arms are always open. He's ready for us. No matter how far we may feel we're behind other people, his arms are open. He wants to receive us and give us that hug of acceptance, knowing that we ran our race. So never give up. Never give in. That love will keep us driving on. Lastly, where I wanted to really get to is to fix our eyes on Jesus. And that's what he says in verse 2. To me, what I like about it, he says eyes. That means both eyes. You know, we're going to talk about distractions. See, we need to fix both eyes on Jesus, not one on him and not one that's on the world. Because only if we keep our eye on the ball do we get the prize. You know, if you're distracted and looking other ways and doing other things, it's hard to really stay focused. What I feel is that we need faith-fueled focus to finish our race. We need to keep our eyes on him and what he has for our life, because along the way, there's going to be discouragement. There's going to be things that don't go the way you prayed. Has anybody ever had that? You know, we prayed a certain way, and we really believed it was going to happen a certain way, but it didn't happen that way. It happened a different way. Are we going to stop running? Are we going to quit? I hope not. Faith-fueled focus. Keeping our eyes, both of them, on Jesus. Because that's what's going to bring you through. That's going to get you to the place that God wants you to be. You know, have you ever watched somebody, now this is it's kind of funny, when they're on their cell phone and they walked into a pole on a sidewalk? I've seen that. That's a hoot. I mean, they don't get hurt bad, but I mean they're not paying attention. They took their eye off what they're supposed to be doing, you know. And they walked right into a pole. And see, that's what happens when we take our eyes off Jesus. We can walk into things that might harm us. It might get us, you know, to stumble and trip. You know, there's a lot of obstacles out there in life. And some of the distractions that you and I face, I'm going to read a few here. And first one is money issues. Now, we looked at greed and stuff. But sometimes we can get focused on money too much and think that's our God, and we start chasing after that, or maybe we get sidetracked with media. You know, maybe we're playing video games or on our phones all the time. You can be sitting right next to somebody and not really be with them. But see, that can lose us. Some people get so hooked on that. Then you got some relationships. You know, some people have, you know, somewhat codependent personalities where they just can't really seem like they can function by themselves. Well, that's okay. None of us can function by ourselves. But instead of putting our connection on somebody else who's going to fail us, let's connect with God. Let's connect with Jesus. You know what I mean? Let him be the most important relationship, because I'll tell you what, he'll never leave you or forsake you. I've had a lot of friends in my day, but some of them have left me. Some of them have stabbed me in the back. Who you never would have thought it, but it happens. But Jesus Christ has never stabbed me in the back. As a matter of fact, he took the stabbing for me and brought me health and brought me healing and restored my soul and brought me to the place where I need to be. You know, being a kid these days is tough. It was tough when I was a kid, and it's tougher now, because a lot of kids can't escape the media. You know, they get bullied at school, and then they get on Facebook and they're trash talking them there. When I was a kid, I'd go out to the farm and, you know, I didn't have to hear about it, at least till the next day. So that's why we need to really pray for our young people. A lot of them are getting hurt a lot, and they're abused and mentally and things like this, and they really need our prayers, you know, to stay strong. Lastly, you know, work. You know, some people make work their God. You know, I've had people in my life that, you know, want to make so much money and help their families, and they work so much, and they work so much overtime that they lose their families. You know, they lose their, keep their eye off where they're supposed to be. And, you know, lastly, you know, hobbies. You know, a lot of people get hooked on hobbies, you know. They say, I find God out in nature. Well, I've been out to nature, and I find God, but I'll tell you what, God wants me to go to a church. God wants me to be able to be preached to and encouraged and lifted up so that I can grow in Christ. And I don't really feel you can get that just out in nature all by yourself. So in this cross-country race that you and I are running, has anybody ever ran on uneven terrain? It's easy to trip and fall, isn't it? You know, if you're not really paying attention to what you're doing, it's easy to go down. You know, I've twisted my ankles so many times that I can let it go sideways and it doesn't even hurt no more. The ligaments are kind of stretched out. So there's some good and bad with that. You know, I can turn it sometimes, but for the most part, I just keep going. I don't get laid up. It doesn't swell up anymore. But see, that's because I never paid attention. I wasn't watching where I was going. I ended up getting injured. And see, that's what can happen when we're walking and not paying attention to what we're doing. What's that? That's right. Get you back on track. That's good. Now, distractions happen when we shift our attention from an important object to a lesser important object. You know, that's very profound. I read that, I think, somewhere. You know, we're supposed to be looking at something very important. And see, that's what happens, you know, in life, at work. You know, how many knows that somebody with a bad attitude come in and corrupt your attitude? Maybe you're having a good day at work, and then you work around somebody's got a bad attitude, and before you know it, you've taken on their bad attitude. Now the boss is mad at you. That can happen. So we don't want to take our focus off of something that's very important and put it on something else. And really, that's what happens a lot of times in relationships, especially marriage, you know, that we focus it on something else. You know, to me, shallow focus leads to shallow living, and we need to go deep. And we need to go long, amen. Another thing that we have to pay a time toll or a time tax, however you want to look at it. Now, you probably found out in life that whatever you invest your time in, you can't spend that time on something else. You know, you can't do that. So if you invest a bunch of time in this situation over here, you don't have time to do this. So that comes back around priorities. You know, Jesus says to redeem the time, for the days are evil. You know, that's why we need to manage our time and see what's really important. What is it you want to do? Where do you want to be? You know, maybe you want to be better at something. Well, maybe you need to invest in, you know, trying to learn more things. Or maybe you want to be a better Christian. You know, spend a little more time in the Bible. You know, don't watch so much TV if you feel it's dragging you down. Just all these things factor in. Now, in closing, I want us to remember that it says to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, meaning he's the one at the beginning of our race and he's the one at the end of our race. You're going to find out as you go through life that Jesus is the only constant in your life. Everything else is going to change. You're going to maybe start off running with somebody. I remember people when I first got saved, they got saved and we were kind of in this race together. For whatever reason, we ran at different paces, and maybe we ran in different lanes. And I don't see them anymore. I don't know who they are or what happened to them. You know, some people are going to quit. They're going to stop running. They're going to fall back. You know, one of the hardest things for me to imagine when I first got born again, because I was so in love with Jesus, I mean, it's the first time in my life I knew that God loved me and wasn't against me, and I just, wow, this is something. Then I found out that somebody that was in Bible school backslid and fell away from God, didn't want to serve God no more. And for me as a baby Christian, I could not understand that. How can somebody want to turn their life away from God? It just totally floored me. But now I'm used to it. I've watched it so many times as people do that. They start the race. They maybe stumble, or they get off course and they take a detour. You know, all these things come in, you know, because, you know, we need to make sure we stay where we're supposed to be. Now, I want you to think about this. It's easy to quit if you run with quitters. It's easy to quit if you run with quitters. Who are you running with? You know, cipher that out. I'm not saying we can't be an evangelist to some people, but Jesus only let a few people in his inner circle. We need to do the same. You need to hang around with people with like precious faith who have the same fire as you do. Here's what I think is a good idea. You know, when I play tennis, I like to play with somebody better than me because it pushes me. And as a Christian, I like to run with somebody who's farther along in their faith than me because they're going to push me. Find somebody that's on fire for God. Build a relationship with that person. Let them challenge you. Let them encourage you to get to the next place, and then maybe you can do that for somebody else. That's what it means to make disciples. Disciples make disciples. To run your way, race. I keep wanting to say waste because I'm from southern Iowa, I guess. But run your waste. Now, Jesus is the only constant, and he takes every step with us. And I want us to always remember as we go through this life that we're never alone. I keep wanting to go back to that. You know, everything that happens in your life, you know, some of it's from God, some of it's from the devil. But no matter what the case may be, Jesus is with us every step of the way. And we need to remember, you know, that we just need to keep moving. Don't be like the zebra and stop running. And then the devil. I'm not talking you can lose your salvation. That's not where we're going with this today. But I will say this. Self-inflicted pain is always the worst pain. And when I do things to myself, it really frustrates me. Because I know that I didn't have to mess up there, but I chose to do it anyway by an act of my will. Let's pray.